This is my Bible.
I am.
What it says, I am. Now say, I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith coming by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right, well, we are in our series, part 8 of Bold Faith. Everybody say bold faith. Hebrews, the 11th chapter and the first verse. When I went to Hebrews 11, well, when Holy Spirit took me there this morning and those kind of things, you guys, you know, I think y'all understand, Pastor is, how old is Pastor? 41. Somebody said 42. Or was that 22? Was that 20? I must have heard 22. So Pastor is 41, and I remember learning faith when I was about 17 years old and really beginning to be introduced, 17, 18 years old, introduced to the word of faith and those kind of things. And back in the day, if you asked me what was faith, I would tell you with boldness and confidence it is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That's all I knew about faith. You got it. And so thank God over time I had developed in the word of God and gotten a revelation on what faith is. In Hebrews 11 and 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtain a good report. Verse 3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed, how, class? By the word of God. That's right. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, there's a lot that you can pull out from verse 3. I think the thing that I pull out the most from verse 3 is that we see that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So God framed his world with the words of his mouth. And the Bible says that as he is, so are we in this earth. How many know that it is vitally important that we watch what we say because we're going to have what we say, right? So we can frame our world with the words of our mouth. That is why confession is so vitally important. That is why, when did I teach on confession? Sunday before last, right? Taught on confession Sunday before last, talked a little bit about our confession books and those kind of things. And how many of you all either have a confession book or know what I'm talking about when I say confession book? Okay, all right, good. And so, and we're working right now to be able to send it to you electronically. You got it? And it's not going to cost you anything. We're just going to send it to you free because we want you to be able to confess the word of God on a daily basis. So if you're an expecting mother, hey, amen, that's a good place to clap. If you're an expecting mother, you'll be able to have it on your iPad, so you'll slide to that one. You understand what I'm saying? If you feel like you're not where you need to be with confidence, we have a confession for confidence. You understand? We have all these different confessions, and it's important to understand that we are framing our world with the words of our mouth, and that's why we've got to say the right things, even when you get in moments of frustration and feel like saying the wrong thing. Anybody besides me ever gotten a moment of frustration, and you really did not for that moment care about what came out of your mouth? But how many of you have to care what comes up out of your mouth? Does that make sense? All right, so let's kind of jump into this whole thing about bold faith. And I think one of the keys is if I'm going to have this bold faith is it, when I'm walking by faith, I must learn how to accept the right report and not the wrong report. Everybody say the right report. I have to accept the right report. If there is a stagnant place in your life, it's probably because at some point you accepted the wrong report. You got it? If there's a stagnant place in your life, it's probably because you accepted the wrong report. There's general things that people say that if you're not careful that you'll grab onto, you know, it's going to get worse before it gets better. Well, not for me. I don't believe that. You got it? He always calls me to triumph, and he always calls me to win, you know, in Christ. You got it? And so some people say, if it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have no luck at all. I don't talk like that. I don't let those things come out of my mouth. And I only believe the report of the Lord. The report of the Lord says that he is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides. And I don't know about you, but I believe that he is meeting all my needs and even above my needs because he's a good father that wants to give me good things. And to the degree that I stay in faith, keep my mouth right, and keep my heart right, I'll see God do some things, amazing things in my life. Does that make sense? All right. So when we talk about how we will, you know, believe in reports and those kind of things, I will believe reports based on one of the following. I will believe reports based on one of the following. With a strong voice, what's letter A, class?
Social.
Social. This is what other people are saying. So I'm going to believe reports, you know, based on letter A, social, which is what other people are saying. What's letter B?
Statistical.
I know that's one of them hard. Statistical. You got, that's why I had you say it first. So I will believe reports based on maybe statistical. And although we thank God for statistics, and statistics are important in certain arenas for certain things, how many know that the statistics do not override the Word of God? So we appreciate statistics, and sometimes we do need to use them for certain things, all right? I could believe reports based on satanic, and that is what the devil is saying. How many know we should never listen to the devil? Bible says, give no place to the devil. Don't give the devil an ear. You got it. And understand that he has no power in your life. And then so letter D is sovereign, which is how we should believe on all of them. And this is what the Word of God tells us. And so I can believe on social what other people are saying. I think I'll pass. I can believe on statistical what statistics say. I believe I'll pass. I can believe based on satanic because the enemy's going to put negative thoughts in my mind. I think I'll pass. I'm going to believe on sovereign. I'm going to believe on the Word of God because I understand that the Word of God is the final authority and the firm foundation in my life. And to the degree I believe the Word of God, and not just believe the Word of God, but act on the Word of God, I'll see it come to pass in my life. Does that make sense? Thank you. So now, some people don't understand that there's a difference when you understand truth versus facts. Everybody say truth versus facts. So when we talk about even, you know, accepting the right report, a report doesn't have to be true even though it may be factual. All right? A report doesn't have to be true even though it may be factual. We were at Jada's wedding over the weekend, and I was talking to my mom about some things, and I was telling her some things that I was doing. And it wasn't that she didn't believe that I was doing these things, but I don't know if she believed I was doing these. She said, okay, now, is this factual? And I said, no, no, Mom, this is the truth. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, and so she's like, "Woo, that is really good." I said, oh, yeah. And so anyways, a report doesn't have to be true, even though it may be factual, all right? You can get a report from the doctor, watch this, that says, you know, let's just use high blood pressure, okay? That is a fact that the report says that there's high blood pressure. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. What is truth?
Thy word.
What is truth?
Thy word.
So the word of God is the truth. You got it? Over every situation. So watch this. So a report for me does not have to, for those of us that walk by faith, does not have to be true, even though it may be factual. So it is a fact, watch this, that the doctor is showing me this report, but the truth of the Word of God is that he bore my sickness and disease on a tree. He took 39 stripes, and because of those stripes, I'm already healed. So now I have to open my mouth and have this bold faith and begin to declare the Word of God and speak over my life and speak over my body and command my body to line up with the Word of God. Does that make any sense? Watch this, because I believe that the truth of God's word will override any fact any given day of the week. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so, faith never denies the facts. So I'm not saying don't deny the facts. You got it? No. If they say, you know, you have high blood pressure and you need to take high blood pressure medicine, I'm not against any of that. Not at all. No. Take the medicine. But watch this. While I'm taking the medicine, I'm declaring my healing. You understand what I'm saying? You got it? So I'm taking it, but it's in concert with my faith. You got it? You know, and people have, you know, and you have to understand, people have different levels of faith. There are, you know, and we see this all through the scripture, and we see that there's different types of faith. You know, there's some people that have the faith, as long as I take this medicine, my blood pressure is going to be okay. You got it? I have no problem with that. You got it? There's other people say, you know, thank God for this medicine, but I believe that, you know, I'm not going to be on this medicine a long time. I don't want to be on this medicine. And watch this. And that works too, because God will meet you wherever your faith is. Does that make sense? And so a report doesn't have to be true, even though it might be factual. So it may be a fact that, watch this, that I'm experiencing some things in my body, but the truth of the Word of God is that, watch this, I am already healed. So I choose to only say what the Word of God says. Does that make sense? All right, because you know, how many know saying the wrong thing is not going to produce the right thing? So there's no use in saying the wrong thing. You might as well say the right thing. And how many know it doesn't cost you a dime to confess God's word? All right. So when we talk about, you know, believing reports and things come up, you know, there are going to be reports of contradiction, but thank God that there are also reports based on the word of God. And so when there's a report of contradiction, watch this now, you need to go get a report from the word of God, and don't, watch this, don't confess the report of contradiction. You confess, you know, the report of the word of God. Does that make sense? Go with me to Numbers, the 13th chapter and the 27th verse. Let's kind of talk about these reports of contradiction. And then let's talk about reports of the word based on the word of God. You know, at some point in your life, you got to make it up in your mind whose report you're going to believe. You got it? All right. Numbers, the 13th chapter and the 27th verse. Here we go. And they kind of give you the backdrop. This is the children of Israel. Moses, Spirit of God tells him to appoint some guys, tell them to go and spy out the land. The land is flowing with milk and honey, and I have given it to you. Did you hear what I just said? God told Moses, I have given it to you, all right? So now Moses does exactly what the Lord tells him. He comes down, tells him, hey, God has given us the promised land. He says that it's a land that flows with milk and with honey. You got it. It's, you know, look for signs of fruit and the, you know, all these kind of things. I want you to go. I want you to come back, and I want you to give me a report. So they go, and they come back with a report. Let's watch the report. Numbers 13, 27. And they told him and said, we came unto the land, whither thou sentest, and surely, this is James McIver adding to it, just like you said, it floweth with milk and honey. All right? And this is the fruit of it. All right? Verse 28. What's that first word? You have to be careful with that word. In Scripture, sometimes that word can be good, but in Scripture, sometimes that word can not be so good. He says, Moses, just like you said, God said, it's flowing with milk and honey. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and are very great. And moreover, he said, you know, to add to that, you remember the children of Anak? They are there. Like Moses, we don't want to mess with them. You know, like, we know their history. You understand what I'm saying? Like, they got street cred. We don't want to mess with them. You understand what I'm saying? You got it? So watch this. So watch this now. The man of God already told them what God said. He told them that God has given us this land. He told them that it's a land that flows with milk and honey. They go there to testify that the same thing that God told Moses is actually true. He says, but however, to add to that, there's some other things. He said the city is walled, and it's very great. It's, you know, that's not a wooden 5-foot fence, Moses. He said, you know, that's brick, and it's 30 feet high. You understand what I'm saying? You got it? How many know sometimes we focus more on the problem than the God that can solve our problem? Does that make sense? Sometimes we focus on everything that's not right, but how many know we have to learn how to focus on the things that are right? Watch this. And in this situation, we need to not focus on the situation that might not look so good, but we have to focus on what God says. So it was a fact that there were giants in the land, because we're talking about fact versus truth, but the truth is that God had already given them the land. And sometimes God will challenge you and say, I want you to do this, or, you know, I'm calling you to do this, and, you know, I want you to do this. And then, you know, we'll be like, okay, yeah, I'm going to do it. Bless God. You know, okay, no, let's do this. God says, I want you to be a blessing to that family for Christmas. I want you to bless them with $300. You got it. You just getting out of service too. Oh, bless God. I'm going to talk to my spouse. We're going to get an agreement. We're going to write the check. We're going to put it in a card. We're going to bless them for Christmas. You got it. You're all excited because the Lord said to bless them for Christmas, right? You got it. That's on Sunday. You got it. You even talk to your spouse. Your spouse says, yeah, we ought to do it. You got it. Then on Monday, because you're going to give it to them on Tuesday night at Bible study, you understand? And then on Monday, you get an unexpected bill, and you did not know that bill was coming because you thought your insurance had taken care of that bill. But little did you know your insurance has declined it, and now you have to pay, watch this now, the $675. Now, all of a sudden, I don't know if we ought to write that $300 check to be. This is exactly what they did. You got it. I don't know, because now you start saying, because, you know, we got this bill, and then, you know, Christmas is coming, and we got to buy the kids stuff, and we forgot all about what God told us from the beginning. Did you ever think that God knew that that bill was coming, so he wanted to get you to get a seed in your hand so that you can release it, so he could cause abundance to come back to you based off of that seed? Does that make sense? Because we all know giving is not what? It's not a game. So anytime, watch this, God asks you for something, he's not trying to get something from you. He's trying to get something to you. And we understand that a seed has to be released. You got it. So it can produce a harvest in my life. So a lot of times, like these spies, well, now, of course, we know Joshua and Caleb said, no. Moses, don't listen to them. He said, let's go up at once. You got it. So thank God for them. But the other guys, they, watch this, they focus on the negative instead of what God said. And so this whole facts versus truth, we must stop focusing on the negative, which are just facts, and start focusing on the truth of what God's word has already said, and to the degree we have bold faith. Because how many know you can't back up in faith when things don't look good? You can't, no, y'all didn't give me a good enough amen. No, you can't. I'm serious. You can't back up. And how many know that? But just our flesh is prone to back up when things don't look good. If God told you to write the $300 check, you can't let the devil, you know, you got the bill in the mail. Now the devil's starting to talk to you. And if you're not careful, the devil is telling you everything you need to say. Well, now you didn't know that bill was coming. Babe, I didn't know that bill was coming. And it's $675. And it's $675. And you know little Johnny wants an iPad for Christmas. And you know little Johnny asked for an iPad for Christmas. If you give that $300, you are not going to be able to get. If we give that $300, baby, we are not going to be. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? So you cannot give place to the devil. You have to watch this. You have to obey God. Watch this with deliberate speed. Does that make sense? Anytime God tells me to do something, boom, I do it just like that. Why? I'm not going to give place to the devil. So my thing is, watch this. So does the Bible not say that, I don't want to get into my, I think I got something I want to share on Sunday. But does the Bible not say that we glory in tribulation and we glory in trouble and we glory in trial? In other words, when something shows up that is against what you were believing for, something you weren't hoping for, you don't put your head down. You say, glory be to God. Why? Because watch this. Because even though something negative shows up, it does not change who God is. He is still on the throne. Jesus is still at the right hand. You understand what I'm saying? So it has not changed anything. So the writer says we glory in tribulation. Why? Glory be to God. Why are you saying glory be to God? Because God must, he's about to show up. He's about to open a door. He's about to make a way. God is about to show himself strong in my situation. To the degree I focus on the truth and not on the negative. Does that make sense? So when the check, watch this, not the check, when the bill comes, watch this, I don't back, glory be to God. People say, that's crazy. No, that's faith. Does that make sense? The Bible says, I've been studying this thing this morning, and sometimes I've learned that when God gives me stuff, he lets me go through it sometime before I give it to you. You understand what I'm saying? And I was reading where the writer says, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. You got it? And so I looked at how this word, I'm not big into English and all those kind of things, you know, so I don't act like I know all, you know, cumulative verbs and that kind of thing, but I do know what that understands. That means, you got it? It means to do it again. You got to rehearse. To revisit. You understand what I'm saying? Y'all got any more reads for me? Redo. I'll take it. So in other words, I just don't do it one time, but it's something that I do over and over and over. And so the writer says, rejoice. And again, I say, rejoice. So I rejoice on Sunday, and when Monday the Blue Cross and Blue Shield, not Devil, Bill shows up, you understand what I'm saying? Watch this. I have to do the same thing I did yesterday. I have to rejoice and again rejoice. And then I write the check for $300 and I bless the person on Tuesday night. You got it? What do I have to do? I gotta rejoice again, right? And then on Wednesday morning, when I wake up and the devil says, "You fool, you fool. You were down, watch this. You were down $675, but now you gave $300, so now you are down $975. You fool, you fool." No, I'm not a fool. The devil does not know math, because anytime you give, it doesn't subtract. It doesn't even add. God multiplies that thing. He says, "Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over with the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be given back to you again." And so you've got to understand that, watch this, I've got to rejoice through the process of whatever I'm going through, and then I got to rejoice again, and then I got to rejoice again, and I keep rejoicing all the way until I get my victory. Does that make sense? All right. Whew. All right. So that's reports of contradiction. Well, I'm doing good. Let's talk about reports based on the Word of God. Matter of fact, can I just walk you through some scripture? Like, I just want to walk you through some scripture. Is it okay if we just do that? Go to Romans 10 and 16. I'm going to read verses 10, 16, and 17. So I'm just going to tell you, I've got 7 minutes left, but Pastor, y'all know me. The Word is just in me. I've got like 13 scriptures, and I just kind of want to walk you through some of them. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to, if you're taking notes, write them down. And if you're not taking notes, write it down. No, actually, we're not going to say that this time. If you're not taking notes, listen to the podcast, right? And then the scriptures that jump up out of you, those are the ones I want you to go back and I want you to read. Sometimes Pastor gives you Romans 10, 16, and 17. You know what I want you to do? I want you to go back and read the book of Romans and start at verse 10 and read it from verse 1 down to verse 17. Does that make sense? Okay. And because how many know Sunday and Tuesday is not the only time we should be in the Word of God? All right. So he says, "But they have not done what? All obeyed the gospel." So everybody's not obeying this word. You got it? He said, "For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report?" Now, watch this. And see, that's why you have to go back and read some before it, because I really want to, in my Mark Morgan's voice, qualify what I'm saying. I qualify in verse 17. All right. So you qualify it because, watch this, because this is why he qualifies it. Because he doesn't want, this is what the writer's not doing. He's not wanting you to focus on those who haven't believed the right report. He wants you to focus on you believing the right report, regardless of what other people do. If you don't believe me, just go back and read it, all right? So he says, "So then." So in other words, I had to share that part with you because everybody don't believe the word. But I just needed to give you that. But so then faith cometh by and hearing by, and so faith cometh by, and hearing by, and what you've got to understand is faith just does not come by hearing James McIver. Faith comes by hearing Pat, whatever comes out of his mouth, and hearing whatever comes out of Sheldon's mouth, and hearing whatever comes out of Zanquavis' mouth. What are you saying? I'm saying that they have to every day say, "Father, I thank you, all my needs are met according to heaven's best. I eat the best. I wear the best. I live in the best. I drive." Because the reason they need to open their mouth and say it is, number one, we understand, whole thing of, confession of faith and that kind of thing. But watch this. They need to hear what they're saying. Because the more I say it, the more faith is increased in my life. Because he says, "So then, faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God." He didn't say, I got to calm down. He didn't say faith coming by hearing and hearing by James McIver. Faith coming by hearing and hearing by James McIver when you come to church on Sunday and Tuesday. But you have to rehearse the word of God over and over and over so you keep hearing it. Watch this. And the more you hear it, the more it builds your faith up. Does that make sense? Okay, how many would love to be out of debt? Everybody in the building, right? Right. Well, part of the now there's more than just, there's a process to debt freedom. We know that. You got it. Part of the process of debt freedom is stop, spending all your money. You understand what I'm saying? if you get paid on the 15th and by the 16th, all your money is gone. You got it. That's the first, you know, first part of debt freedom is don't go to the mall on paydays. But so there's some other steps. But watch this. But it can't come to pass, watch this now, if I don't ever say it out of my mouth. Because faith comes by hearing, but it is released by the words of your mouth. Does that make sense? And so my thing is, I'm always confessing the word of God over my life, over my children's life, over my wife's life, over our marriage, over this ministry, over your life. You understand what I'm saying? I'm always confessing it. And the reason, watch this, I have faith for all these things is because I'm always confessing it. And so that's why you have to have a consistency to keep saying it over and over and over and over. I remember when we were living paycheck to paycheck, we needed money between paychecks. You got it, like our needs had needs. You ever been there? All right. And so, you know, our needs had needs. But it was my bold faith in that time. I remember living in a little two-bedroom house that we were renting. You got it. It was all we can afford. My wife was driving this little Fred Flintstone car that we got at a buy here, pay here place. You got it. And they didn't let you pay by the month. They pay by the week. You understand what I'm saying? Don't knock me. You understand what I'm saying? That's just my story. And so what happened was, but even there were some situations in our life that at that moment they looked a little bleak. They didn't. It was like I thought I should be here by now, and I was on my way. But a few things transpired after I got out of the military that didn't line up that were supposed to, and it seemed like it put me backwards instead of putting me forward. And so now, watch this now. Now I'm in a situation that I don't want to be in, but that is not the time to put my head down and start talking doubt and unbelief. So what I did was I started writing my own confessions, and every morning I would walk through my little house declaring, Father, I thank you. All my needs are met. According that confession we give you, Pastor made, I said made it up, but I wrote that confession. I didn't make it up. We take it from the word of God. But Father, I thank you. All my needs are met according to heaven's best. I eat the best. I wear the best. I live in the best. You got it. I go first class in life. Now, please understand, I'm living in a little house that I'm renting because it's all I can afford. My wife is driving, you know, a little car from a buy here, pay here place. You understand what I'm saying? You got it. But it's all we could do at the time. So we decided that we weren't going to put our heads down, but we were going to keep our heads lifted up, that we were going to stay in faith. We were going to confess the word of God. We were going to have bold faith. And if we did it, watch this, not overnight, but over time, we would see the word of God manifest in our lives. And so when payday came, you know what we did? Now, this payday was a little different. We got paid on the 15th. By the 16th, we didn't have much. That's just because we didn't make much and we paid all our bills on the 15th. You understand? What I was talking about before is, you know, you got $600, $700, $800 left over and you just go spend all the $600, $700, $800. But I'm talking about, you know, we got paid that week $415 and we needed $403. And so what did we do on Friday nights? Because everybody in the church was talking about they going out on dates with their boo and all those kind of things. You know, and so the devil's like, you ain't got no money to take your boo on a date. The devil, watch this. Now, how many of us how the devil would talk to you? Because he wanted to get me in depression. He wanted to make me feel like I was less of a man. Because, brothers, now y'all know how I feel. You know how it is. We want to make sure we do things for our wives and that we surprise them with things. And let's be honest. If we've ever been in a situation where we couldn't do it, we didn't feel our best. You got it. Don't teach me when I'm shouting good. You understand what I'm saying? You got it. So the devil wanted to make me feel bad, you got it, and he wanted to get me depressed to make me feel like I was a less of a man so I could put my head down, you got it, but watch this, and start to try to tell me that my wife was upset. My wife wasn't upset. My wife is disappointed. My wife wouldn't disappoint, you understand? But the devil would do everything. So what did I have to do? I had to combat all those things, and watch this. He said, you ain't going to be able to take your boo out like everybody. I said, the devil is a lie. I said, they got a $1.99 special down at the corner of Church's Chicken. And I had enough faith to tell my wife, babe, let's go on a date down to the Church's Chicken. She said, okay with your crazy self. And we went right on down there to Church's Chicken. We got the $1.99 special with the honey biscuit. And that honey biscuit was the will of God. Watch this. Because I didn't go home and put my head down, and now she got to say, well, baby, are you okay? It's going to be all right. And now she got to worry about me. No, no, I stayed in faith. I learned that a real man is not about if I can take you and buy you a $50 steak, but a real man is going to stay in faith, going to keep his family prayed up, going to lead his family to church. That's what a real man does. The steak will come after a while, but right now I still got to be the man of God that God's called me to from the beginning. Whether I got $1.99 or $39.99. That young man is teaching up in here. Yes, he is. And so the thing about it was we went right down the street because it was just right down the street from our house. We went right down the street and we got the little $1.99. And do you know, no, because, I mean, she was like, that's my ride or die. You understand what I'm saying? And so now, I mean, y'all good. But I used to tell people in the early days, you know, when we start this church, we was rich. Now, people take that the wrong way. That's on you. That's just the bottom line. You understand? So my whole thing is I just told God, I ain't going to dumb down. You got it for nobody. It is what it is, you know. And so I made, you know, God a promise and my wife a promise. Baby, we ain't always going to be here. You got it? And so watch this now. You already my queen. You got it? But when we get to where we're going, everybody's going to see that you my queen. You understand what I'm saying? And so I never apologize. You got it? When you walk by and that big old carrots are on her finger. Because she stayed with me in the lean days. She didn't frustrate the grace in the mean day. She didn't say, I don't know why in the world I can't have it. I seen Sister So-and-so went to Hawaii on their anniversary. And for our anniversary, we stay at home talking about we going to make some dinner together. She didn't do that. You got it. She didn't do good for a while. And then after a while, she's like, babe, I'm tired of giving you my check. It was good for the first 6 weeks, but it's been 6 months. I have not been to the nail shop. I have not had my hair did in a while. I'm tired of my sister coming over here and burning that perm in my head. She didn't do none of that. And that's exactly what was going on. But we understood that we were faith partners. We understood that we make it happen together. She understood the importance of her being in faith, and I understood the importance of me being in faith, and we understood the power of agreement that if James and LaConte can come together, it's $1.99 now, but watch this, but if you stay in faith, it's going to be exceeding abundantly, far above all that you can ask or think. Does that make sense? And I kid you not, man, we went to Church's Chicken and had a blast. Like, she fell in love with those honey biscuits. I was like, this was the will of God. And that's what we did for a long time. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I would love to say, Elder, we did it for 3 weeks, but we did it for a whole lot more because everything's a process. And so we were okay with doing that. And, you know, and then her parents were like, hey, y'all, we going to Georgia. You want to go? Everybody knew back in them days I had to carry a calculator. Why'd you have to carry a calculator? See if we could afford to do it. We can't do it. She didn't get upset. She just told her mama, nah, mama, we can't go. We're going to catch y'all the next time. Does that make sense? You know? And said, well, y'all need us to loan you a little bit of money. No, it's okay. You know, well, you got pride. No. I'm not going to borrow money for a trip. You understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to pay bills right now. And so we worked that process of faith. So now my wife is going to work. You got it. I work in the afternoon for making $6.25 an hour, so I have all day. So I'm not going to waste my day. So now in the daytime, I'm waking up and I'm writing my confession. I wrote my own marriage confession. We will be married together until Jesus returns. I declare that there's no strife or envy in our relationship. We are truly in love. You know, and I put all this other stuff. And then down toward the end, I start talking about our finances. We are walking in the overflow. We are millionaires. Now listen. Let me just tell you something. When I first wrote We Are Millionaires, it was easy to write it. But on the first couple days saying, I was like, oh, my God. But faith coming by. And faith coming by. And faith coming by. And so even though, watch this. This is the truth. Elder, I didn't believe it the first couple times I said it. I didn't, but I understood the principle that faith comes by hearing, and the more I say it, and the more I say it, and the more I say it, faith would arise in my heart. So after I said it about a week and a half, I said, bless God, yeah, it's not based on what I can do, it's based on what he can do. Does that make sense? In that same house. No. In that same house, we didn't become millionaires because we was doing real good, so we moved up out of that house to move somewhere else. But in that same house, we was doing $350,000 a year, and that ain't cheesy. You understand what I'm saying? And so what am I saying? That is the important. Faith come about, you know, because all I did was go all the way back around to faith come. So faith come about hearing and hearing by the word of God. And that's why you got to keep saying stuff and keep saying. So I'm confessing the word. I'm confessing the word. I'm confessing the word. I'm confessing the word. And watch this. And not overnight, but over time, it began to come to pass in my life. My wife and I never fussed over money. And I know that's like, you got to be kidding me, right? No. Like, we just made it up in our minds. You got it. I'm not saying that she never maybe had a day where, you know, silently she was frustrated, like, okay, I'm sick and tired of not being able to go to the mall. I'm not saying that she didn't have a moment like that. You got it. I know I had some. But we knew better than to let it come up out of our mouth, and we knew better than to fuss about it, because in the beginning we say, you know what, there's no use in fussing over what we don't have. And that's what we did. And we worked that process, and not overnight, but over time, we saw God do amazing things in our lives. And that's what bold faith is about. That's what bold faith is about. Did I didn't get to all my scriptures. Oh, no, I don't have time. Somebody, you got time. Oh, brother man, got to let y'all go. All right. Play something soft. Let's go home. No, that's just too much. I think maybe next Tuesday. Even if I start in a different series on Sunday, I think I'm going to finish this next Tuesday night, because it's that much information. I still got 2.5 pages, y'all. So that's not if you had time. That's we need another lesson. Okay, let me talk to you about something, and then we're going to pray and we're going to go home. I said something that is so vitally important. In our lives, there will be some, what I like to call, and this might not be right English-wise, but I like to call constant consistencies, things that will always be. One of those things is the Word of God. The Word of God is consistent. It never, ever changes. This is something that you really need in your faith walk, right? Because it works. But go back to what I said about me and Lady. The key to making this work is we were together, and we were in unity, and we were in agreement. And watch this. And when you get in agreement on this that does not change, if you stay in agreement and don't change, then this has to come to pass. Does that make sense? So the key is, and watch this. This is for my married and my single people, right? If you're married, you already got your faith partner. You got it? And so now the key for you is to get in agreement and declare we are not going to come out of agreement, and have a discipline that even if one starts getting frustrated and starts wanting to fuss, you're not going to give in and fuss back. No, like that works. Let me tell you how it works. Because years ago, everybody say years ago. Years ago, in probably the first year of my marriage, I didn't really get marriage. I just thought Lady married me, and so I was the man, so whatever I said is what goes. I quickly found out it don't work like that. But I thought, you know, I'm just being honest. Now, I never was mean to her, I'm being transparent. So I would fuss if things, you know, I would fuss. But she would never fuss back. Like, I mean, like, seriously. Because somebody would say, you make her seem like she's an angel. That girl is an angel. So she wouldn't fuss back. So watch this. So I stopped fussing. Why? Because I ain't had nobody to fuss to. Does that make sense? You know, because it takes two to have a fight, right? Because I got to say, well, you make me mad. So she got to say, you make me mad too, right? So I would say something so she wouldn't say nothing. So then I would really get upset. Until one day the Holy Spirit says, you know, if you would just grow up and realize that, you know, you don't run the world, and it don't work like that. Now, that was a hard pill to swallow, but I swallowed it right away. Why? Because at the end of the day, I'm about results. And so, you know, I mean, look, I put my pride and my emotions in my back pocket, and I apologize. You got it? And then guess what I did next week? I fussed again. And guess what the Holy Spirit did? He gently reminded me, that's not the way to do it. So you know what I did? I put my pride in my back pocket and my emotions in my back pocket. And I went and I probably, and like a good woman, she never was, that's what I'm talking about. You, I thought you learned last week. You said you saw her last. That's not what she did. She said, no problem. You got it. And so guess what I did the next week? I fussed again. And so I put my pride in my back pocket. But watch this. But watch this. But then I said, God, I need you to help me not do that. And so then he says, son, you need a plan of action because faith without a plan is no good. And so then I said, oh, okay. And this is what I teach y'all when y'all come into my office. When there's something going on and it might come back around, you have to have a plan of how you're going to deal with it so you don't fall back into that. Does that make sense? And so then I said, okay, I need a plan of action. So I went to my wife and said, okay, babe, I need you to help me. We got to come up with a plan. Like you say, well, that, but boy, why should she help you? You're the one fussing because the two have become one. And she realizes, watch this now, that she's as much a part of it as I am, even though in this moment, I'm the one having the problem. Does that make sense? And so she said, okay, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. And so I can't remember because now Lady might remember. This is a long time ago, y'all. Because now, truth be told, now, and I'm not trying to puff myself up, but Pastor figured it out quick. You understand what I'm saying? It only took me a little while. And that first year, that was, you know, it wasn't even the first year. Them first 3 months, no, I figured it out quick because I didn't want to live my life like that. And so we came up with like a code word. Like if I start getting kind of, you know, like we talk about, you know, like the weather, you got it? And she's like, boy, it was a nice day out today. I think it was like 82 degrees. So that's supposed to remind me that, hey, be careful. And then my commitment was, if she brings that up, I can't get mad at her. You got it? For doing, because y'all can see that going the wrong way, right? And so it takes a discipline to do that. But watch this. In my immaturity, this was always consistent. It never changed. I was the one that wasn't consistent. And so by the time I started getting consistent and we started working that word, watch this, it started working because this always stayed the way it needed to be. I finally got myself to where I needed to be, and then we started confessing that word, watch this now, and we started going in the direction that we wanted to. Does that make sense? Now, that doesn't mean that I never made a mistake or I never messed up. Y'all understand that, right? Doesn't mean I'm, because we're all flesh, you know, and things happen, but now it just means that I now have a conviction to do the right thing. And watch this. So then it went from, you know, every week to, oh man, I done went 3 or 4 weeks. And I've been good. And then on the 5th week, I started, and she reminded me about the weather. You got it? And watch this. And because the Holy Spirit didn't beat me down and make me feel like I was less of a man, because I was trying to learn how to keep myself, to get myself together as a man. Does that make sense? So I got my wife who's supporting me. I got the Holy Spirit who's supporting me. Both of them are being gentle. Both of them are leading me. Both of them are guiding me. It didn't take long till we got an agreement and that thing started working. I kid you not. Lady and I, we truly believe this. We believe that anything we set our faith to has to come to pass. It has to come. It doesn't matter what it is. Anything we set our faith to, it has to come to pass. And I want you to understand, if you're a husband, then you need your wife. Or if you're a wife, then you need your husband. Because this is what's constant. This is what's consistent. So y'all get together and make it up in your mind that you ain't going to back up. All right? For all my single ladies. So for my singles in the house, because my single men too, what you have to do is you have to get with an accountability faith partner that will watch this, that will believe, that will get in agreement with you, and that will not get out of agreement until the thing that you are believing for will come to pass. Now, in this instance, it needs to be somebody that's spiritual. It needs to be somebody that's mature, maybe even a little bit mature than you are on your same level, and it needs to be somebody that understands the word of God. Does that make sense? And so it does. So it's not just for marriage. No, because the Bible says it's the principle of agreement. You got it. It doesn't say it's the principle of marriage. It's the principle of agreement. So you get with somebody that'll get in agreement with you and watch the word come to pass in your life. I told y'all I got in agreement with a preacher not too long ago for some things that we're believing for. And I told him, I'm in agreement. I will not come out of agreement. And I told him, I said, if it happens for you first, I'm not going to be upset. I'm going to celebrate for you. You got it? And then you just keep agreeing until it happens for me. And then if it happens for me first, you got it? You celebrate with me, but I'm going to keep, watch this, I'm going to keep confessing and declaring until it comes in agreement with you. So the other morning, I was up in my office just doing some things, and I got a text from him. And it says, Pastor MacIver, I just want to remind you that I'm in agreement for such and such a thing, and I will not come out of agreement until it happens in Jesus' name. You got it? And so I started typing. As I started typing, I was starting to type, and then the Lord said, well, no, you need to tell him this, and you need to tell him this, and you need to tell him this. I was like, I don't think he wanted a prophecy through text, but anyways, you know, but the thing I told him, it wasn't really me, it was God, is exactly the thing he needed to know from God. And that is the key to finding somebody that will agree with you regardless of anything that's going on. Does that make sense? Ooh, it's 8:05. I'm sorry. Did y'all get blessed? Give the Lord a big hand praise. Did you get it? All right. All right. Let's pray.